Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we are in the middle of a busy week, looking forward to being back in person this weekend, and we are very thankful for that.
That's right. This coming Sunday, we're going to open the doors back up and invite anyone and everyone to come worship with us. There's just some guidelines you need to know about, like wearing masks and such things, but there's nothing that beats the face-to-face, in-person worship. It's reflected in our preaching and our singing and all that we do. And so that will be this Sunday, 9:30. We'd love to have you come with us. This past week, Jason gave us a great lesson kind of heading up to Thanksgiving, which is just next week. And he talked about thankfulness all through the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. There's all kinds of passages that talk about being thankful. And his title was, It Is Good to Give Thanks. And I thought we'd let Jason just kind of run back through the highlights of that, particularly at the very end. He gave us a wonderful challenge. I hope we're doing that. And if you haven't, you can still pick up and do that, about something to pray about every single day, a different aspect, but that makes you look beyond just the superficial things of thankful for this day, thankful for my food, and to see the great value of having a thankful, grateful heart to God and then to others.
Yeah. I rooted it in Psalm 92. And the reason that I did that, there are certainly a variety of passages in the Bible that tell us to give thanks. We know what it is to be told to do something, and God certainly has the prerogative to do that. But I like Psalm 92, verse 1, that tells us it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And I think if you carefully read the psalm, what he is showing is it's good for us. Just like brushing our teeth and eating fruits and vegetables are good for us, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. And we just walked through the psalm, how giving thanks lifts our gaze from what we see in the here and the now, and it gives glory where glory is due. It's the door that opens to joy and gladness. Giving thanks is humbling. It's an acknowledgement practically that I was in need or you were helpful to me. Giving thanks keeps our problems in perspective. It draws us near to God, and it has this powerful way of reflecting God's goodness into what David calls the land of the living. And so I bounced off of that idea at the end of the sermon and just challenged our church family, especially over the course of this week and a half leading up to Thanksgiving, to make that personal. And so on Sundays and Wednesdays, our gaze is lifting upward. I give thanks to my God for, and I have really challenged myself and my own family and of course everyone else to really be deliberate and conscious on Sundays and Wednesdays, giving thanks specifically to God. But then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, thinking about the opportunity of reflecting the goodness of God into the world. On Monday, the challenge was to give thanks to someone who's been an encouragement to you in 2020, where we have all needed encouragement. Yesterday, give thanks to someone who has made sacrifices for you. Those have come and gone, but of course, as you mentioned, Roger, there's no time limit on those things. I would really, really encourage our church family to think about tomorrow's opportunity, Thursday, November 19th. Give thanks to one of our shepherds who means so much to us and have done so much for us this year. Friday, give thanks to someone who was there for you when you were down. Saturday, give thanks to someone you've appreciated for a long time, but maybe have never told. And then next Monday, give thanks to someone who's helped you understand the Bible And finally, Tuesday, November 24th, give thanks to someone who inspires you to walk closer with Jesus. You can see that list at charlestownroad.org, but we're also posting them one day at a time on all of our social media channels as well, just as a good reminder at the beginning of every morning.
And with that list, it's both a vertical and horizontal thankfulness. We're thankful to God for these opportunities and these people in our lives, and we need to say it to God. We need to thank God that He's allowed our lives to intersect with these people and the good that these people have done for us. But then the horizontal, we need to tell these people. We need to tell our shepherds. We need to tell other people that you have made a difference in my life. And when you say that to someone, especially when you say, I have prayed to heaven because of you, and boy, that can make those old dark storm clouds just vanish away and sunshine comes in and lifts someone's spirit, and can be so refreshing when we think about that. And that's so helpful for us. And so we're going to transition a little bit, because one of the things I am extremely, extremely thankful for is my partner here, Jason. I have trouble using my remote, you know. And through this year, and this year has been an unbelievable year for us, but all the videos, all the technology, I can record, I can talk in a microphone, but then I leave the room, and he pushes buttons, and he does so much. This church would be so far behind if it's all left up to me, no question in my life. And so he has been an incredible companion, teammate, team player, and friend and encourager to me this year. And so one of the things I want to do is take it off of Acts chapter 10, verse 31 or 21, when Peter came to Cornelius. Peter asked Cornelius, what is the reason for which you have come? And I think it'd be wonderful to just take a few steps back, and I'm going to interview Jason about preaching. And this is something that can encourage all of us, because what we're going to find as he tells us his life story is that, first of all, we'll see the Lord all through this, because the Lord is there. Secondly, whether you preach or you don't preach, as in Jason's case, as in my case, as in all these cases, we find that there's been people all through our lives that's been there, that supported us, that opened doors for us, and that makes all the difference in the world. And it helps us, as we hear someone else's story, to think, well, what about me? Yeah, I've had people in my life just like that. And that's where we want to begin. So, Jason, let's just start. Why did you start preaching?
Well, first of all, I want our listeners to know, you and I, we have a way of engineering these on Wednesdays where whoever wasn't preaching gets to kind of frame it in a sort of interview sort of style. And I didn't know this was happening until just a few moments ago. But I appreciate that. I appreciate what an encouragement you are to me as well. Like you said, we are a team, and I think a pretty good team. But, you know, I am where I am in life, just like you are, because of a mosaic of so many influences, so many people. You know, it's easy. The majority, nearly all of our church family here have only known me for a little over 3.5 years. And they just see me and my immediate family. But of course, there's a whole collection of influences for which I am very, very thankful. I was blessed to grow up in the house of a preacher. And there are a lot of people, when they hear things like that, they immediately assume bad things. You know, there are people who have a very negative view of preaching or growing up in a preacher's household. But I was enormously blessed to be born into a family of parents who love the Lord and put the Lord first. And so I grew up watching and listening to my dad preaching. Was actually born right here in Louisville, Kentucky, but only lived here for a couple of years before we moved to Central Florida. I did the majority of my growing up in Nashville, Tennessee, and was very blessed at the Riverside Drive congregation to grow up listening to my dad and Aud McKee. I know that that name rings a lot of bells for a lot of our listeners. Very similar setup to, Roger, what you and I have, where if one preached in the morning, the other would preach in the evening, and then they would flip. And so it was just, looking back, a joy, not only to watch and be influenced by my dad like that, but also to watch a preacher from a whole nother generation, who didn't even use at that point what my dad was using in transparencies and an overhead projector in preaching. Aud would use a chalkboard or sometimes bed sheets he would have hung up at the front of the auditorium. And so I grew up being able to watch two generations of preachers work together. And looking back, can't put a price tag on that. Was blessed to have two grandfathers who preached. And so this has, in many ways, been a blessing to grow up in a family of preachers. Shelley's grandfather was a preacher. And so I'm just surrounded by preachers growing up, and was blessed in my latter teenage years, first year during college, to work with my dad in a training program in Plainfield, Indiana. And would not give anything for that year that I had with him to really look into the back end of all of this. You and I know everybody sees the tip of the iceberg on a Sunday morning, and there is a deep, deep section of that iceberg underwater that nobody sees. You and I were talking just yesterday morning about, as we're looking forward to 2021, you couldn't hardly sleep because you were thinking, your mind was racing about everything that we've got on the agenda, things that we're building now to be able to introduce and enjoy in 2021. That's, in so many ways, a lot of our life's work is all of the thinking and planning and engineering on the back end.
It's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner,
yeah.
You know, everyone's off playing and watching football games, and Mama's in there been cooking for hours and hours, and then she calls everybody to the meal, and we just gobble down that meal, and off we go, and we don't realize all it took to make those pies and those biscuits and all those things she does, and that's a lot like preaching. You know, the Sunday, the finished product, man, it looks so easy, and it's easy for a guy in the pew to think, man, I could do that. And my thought is, well, good, go for it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff in behind that.
Yeah, you and I have gotten a little bit of a taste of that, I think, on the video side of things, especially the last couple of months. Jordan Cunningham here at Charlestown Road has been enormously helpful in the processing of videos. And, you know, as you and I sit on a Sunday morning and hit play, we've got a unique view into everything that went into the making of that video. Now, we, you know, maybe sat in front of a camera and talked for 20 or 30 minutes, and it's very easy when someone is at home just to hit play and watch that go, but man, there is a lot of work on the back end of that.
You know, and one of the things about life's journey that you just think, you know, sometimes we think, well, it just happens or it's coincidence. I often think the Lord's fingers are in this. Years and years ago, when you were at Plainfield, your dad was preaching there. I was preaching on the south side of Indianapolis. I would go to Plainfield where he was, and a group of his preachers would get together, your dad included, to do some Bible. Who would have thought all these years later that his son is now working with me?
Yeah.
And that's just one of those things.
When I was in that training program with him, he was giving me a lot of paper resources, things just to read and collect as examples, and he had gotten a whole lot of your bulletins from Greenwood. And I remember, I still have some of those in paper form, where looking at that as a good example of how to do a bulletin. And so, you know, that was 23, 24 years ago.
Careful now. Well, let me ask another question on this.
Well, let's go back. We got a couple of spots we got to fill in. So, Sure. So from the training program, then tell me, off to Ohio you went.
Yes, I did. Shelley and I got married, and the first church that I worked with was up a little west of Cleveland, Ohio. So we were all the way up it by Lake Erie. And then we moved over to the Akron, Ohio area. We were in Northeast Ohio for a total of 10 years and worked with the Thayer Street Church there in Akron that has deep, deep roots for a lot of people. Eventually, we moved to Central Ohio, worked with the Laurel Canyon Church of Christ on the east side of Columbus. We were there for 10 years, and you came over there on more than one occasion, held a meeting. We got to know each other much, much better that way, as you would come into town, and we could share breakfast here and there, and formed a relationship. And then now, 3.5 years ago,
you are.
Made the move over here, and it has just been an enormous, enormous blessing. This is the first time I've been privileged to work in a relationship with another preacher in the same congregation, and it has been enormously good for me, my own personal development. It's been a blessing to my family, and you're a big part of that, for
well,
sure.
We it's mutual. It's very mutual. So let me ask you another question here. What would you say has been the upside of preaching?
Yeah.
You know, we often hear the horror stories, and you know, and then sometimes preachers get together and it's just doomsday when they talk. But you know, it's easy to get in preaching. It's easy to get out. And a lot of young preachers have been getting out. And so what is the upside of preaching?
There are lots of ways to answer that. I'll just offer one for the sake of time. For me, what immediately comes to mind is watching people grow. To watch someone who maybe was a teenager when I first met him or her, maybe even not a teenager, but I mean, there are many examples that I could point to, just like you, where you watched this person go through school. Maybe you attended a basketball game or baseball game here and there. You were there to officiate their marriage, their wedding. You were there. You were one of the first to be notified when they had a baby. And we're able to help spread that news, and then to watch them just continue to grow and spread their spiritual wings and have an impact, maybe a long ways away. I mean, there are young people that we knew, for instance, in Columbus before moving here, who have moved to every corner of the country. They're all over the place. But I hear from them every once in a while, and they're doing good. They're standing for the truth. They're making a difference in those congregations. And to me, one of the most humbling things is always having them come back and tell you they remember maybe a sermon you don't even remember preaching, or a conversation that you don't even remember where it was, but they tell you something specific that you said that helped them. And then, at least in my mind, a lot of times it's something that I didn't come up with. Somebody said it to me. It influenced me. I shared it with them. And now they're influencing others. To me, it's hard to put into words what that sort of thing
is. It really is. And I've, like you said, I've seen these young teenagers grow up, get married, have families. I can tell you two or three of them right now that are preaching.
Yeah.
Some of them are now serving as shepherds. And to what you say, I've had folks come back and say, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you said this. And what they say is, I really said that? I'll write that down. That's pretty good. I have no clue. But that's what you do. You just drop seeds of goodness, and you don't stay there and you know, pat yourself on the back. You don't remember it. You just move on. You just keep moving on.
Yeah.
You're like Johnny Appleseed. You're just dropping seeds everywhere you go, and praying that good will come out of that. And to see congregations just get stronger and stronger, and good are coming out of that. And even to what you said a while ago. I mean, when I first moved here to Charlestown Road, Jordan Cunningham was just a little squeaky kid, yeah. You know. Now he's running our media team, and just amazing things that he's doing and we could never do on our own.
Yeah.
And so that is so valuable to that. But part of this also is, as we see back to the scriptures, in Romans 16, in Philippians, and so many of these places, the Apostle Paul would name other people.
Yeah.
And he would do that because these people helped Paul be Paul. He, for instance, in the book of Philippians, is locked in a Roman prison. But he had no way of getting that Philippian letter to the people on his own. He was in prison. He couldn't get out of there. But he had people. And he had people that was bringing him support money from churches, people that would take these letters he wrote to those churches. And in your life, you've had people.
Yeah.
Let's go down that road just a little bit.
Yeah, I people are always so kind in so many different ways, in talking about the good that sermons or classes here and there do. And I always try to say, and I mean it when I say it, that I have had a lot of good teachers along the way, and that is where the credit ultimately goes, and beyond them to the Lord. This is all about just doing what the Lord told us to do. I mentioned my dad, of course, is the greatest influence. Steve was shaped in so many ways by Everett, his dad, my grandfather, Shelley's grandfather, Raymond Harris, my mom's dad, Raymond Brewer. All of these men were very, very, very big influences in my life. And it's what I've always known, is, the work and being able to see behind the scenes what the work demands. I mentioned Aud McKee, to hear from others over the years the impact that he had, and to think about how what a blessing it was for me to get to hear him week in and week out. I look back on many of the Bible class teachers that I had at Plainfield as a teenager. I think of some men now. I mean, they're not preachers as far as their full-time job is concerned, all working secular jobs. But there are men who sacrificed time and effort week in and week out to teach a teenage Bible class that really I can look back on, and I can remember sitting in those rooms and watching as these men who had families and had full-time jobs showed in those ordinary class sessions a passion for the Lord. And that was infectious in a lot of ways. Shelley and I often will think about sitting in those high school classes together and dating and being in those. And then I just think of different elders and their wives, deacons and their wives, and just friends over the last 22 years of doing this as a full-time work, all of them in their own ways. I often reflect on that first church that we worked with up in North Ridgeville, Ohio, small group of senior citizens. In so many ways, they were a church of grandparents to me and Shelley. We had moved 6 hours away from home, and those people took us in as very, very young people and treated us as their own and provided a foundation, a kind of spiritual nursery where we could grow. I hear off and on from church, from preachers about different very bad experiences that they had in maybe their first or their second or even their third work. And we are so blessed to be able to look back at each one of those and to think of men and women who sacrificed for us and loved us and supported us. I'm sure you're like me. If you go back and think about, look at an outline or even hear a recording of yourself those first few years, you wonder, what were those brethren thinking?
That would be bad in my case, very bad.
But those people were there as supports.
And they gave you an opportunity.
Yeah,
And two things that stand out in your story right away for me is, first of all, growing up with this legacy of preachers. So often, you know, I hear from others, you don't want to be a preacher.
Yeah.
Do anything else. I don't want you to be a preacher. But you had the upside of that, and you saw the honor and the dignity of preaching, and God has had put that in a high pedestal. I mean, going all the way back to Noah. Noah was a preacher. Moses was a preacher. Running through all those prophets, even the Lord himself was a preacher of righteousness. And so there's a dignity about that. But then the other thing that comes out of your story for me is, here's all these people that passed through your lives. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were just, we would just say, just common people. They had secular jobs, but they made an impact.
Right.
And they helped build the blocks where you are today. That is a bridge for us today, for our Bible class teachers, and for all of us in the congregation. There's that young person among us that someday may preach. And today you would never think about that. I think about those early days when I was at Emerson Avenue up in Indianapolis. Those people probably thought that guy should never preach, okay? But things change and people impact you. And that's why I wanted to see in this story here, because it's a wonderful legacy of things that are right, great family foundation, not for one generation, but multiple generations. And to see that all of us have people in our lives who've made a difference, and we need to be thankful for that, and we need to see how wonderful that is as we walk with the Lord.
Yeah. We have emphasized just the last couple of days here at Charlestown Road to give thanks to people who've made sacrifices for you. And Bible class teachers do that. Elders do that. Wives of elders make sacrifices. Just all around us, we see people who love the Lord and are doing their best to serve him. And I hope, you know, even just by going through a little bit of my own personal story, it comes through loud and clear that I wouldn't be who I am without the efforts of just good, ordinary servants of Jesus Christ who are serving in an extraordinary kingdom.
We all, every one of us, stand upon the shoulders of others.
Yeah.
And I believe this all my heart, that when we get to heaven, we'll run into people and we'll say, I am here because of you.
Yeah.
Now, it was the Lord who saved me. It was the Lord who forgiven me. But maybe I was in the wilderness. Maybe I needed someone to pick me up and get me going once I stopped. And there's that person. But I also believe, just as much as that is true, there'll be someone come up to us and say, I am here because of you. And that's just the way this works. Others have helped us, and we turn around and we help the guy behind us. And that's a wonderful blessing about these things.
Yeah. I appreciate those questions, and I hope it was helpful. We're going to have to turn the tables here sometime and look in the other direction.
That'd be a long story. That's a long story.
But we hope it's encouraging. We're looking forward, of course, to tonight. Please remember, if you're a member of our church family, that this is the last service in this 2-week quarantine period where we are not meeting in person. So please do not come to the church building this evening. But we do hope that you will turn into charlestownroad.org or Facebook or YouTube. We're continuing our study of Philippians, Choose Joy, and we're going to be in the first 11 verses of Philippians 3, talking about glorying in Jesus. And it's a fascinating section of Paul's letter. We encourage you to be ready for that and participate right along with us. Then Sunday, Roger, as we mentioned, we're excited to get back in person, Lord willing, on 9:30 a.m. You're going to be preaching.
I'll be preaching. You know, this pandemic has brought new words to the surface. Social distancing was something we didn't talk about 5 years ago.
essentials is something that we just didn't talk about very much. But now we're seeing what is essential. And so we're going to talk about some of the essentials we find in the Bible and to look at some things as it kind of points to the Word of God itself. And so we encourage you to come at 9:30. We'll be back again at 5 o'clock Sunday evening for, again, a Sunday service.
We're excited about that. We've got reminders, two different videos on our website, one that Roger recorded the other day and one of our shepherds recorded last week. Just reminders about what to do when you do come. Please remember to wear your mask throughout your entire time here in the building. Maintain that social distance. We're doing our best to fight through this pandemic safely, and your help along those lines will help us go a long way in keeping those doors open. And so if you have not watched those videos, please do that. We're looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.